Which NFC South running back might get the best part of his workload taken away in 2023? Is one AFC East rusher going way too high because of his performance in a small sample size last season? And which NFC North tight end might be setting up his drafters with disasters? Plus, nine-time FFPC league winner Tommy Herron moseys onto the broadcast to talk Khalil Shakir, Calvin Ridley, Trey McBride, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
And the pressure, I've seen greater men than me, the lessons.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you, Rob. Greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Coming up on tonight's show, we're going to let you know what our thoughts are on a post-hype sleeper in the NFC East, a previous All-Pro, potentially having a huge bounce-back season, and then nine-time FFPC league winner Tommy Herron is going to chat with us about Austin Eckler, Tank Bigsby, and a ton of other player evaluations from some of the players he has and has not drafted so far in the Never Too Early tournament, the FFPC Best Ball tournament, and the Fantasy Pros championship as well. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, please do so. The show is at HSFF Hour. I am at Eric Balkman. You can always learn more about Farrell's fantasy football, Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. You can post on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/HSFFHour. You can also email the show at HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us, now is the time to send them. We'll try to get to all the chat room questions, tweets, and emails in the fantasy feedback segment later on in the show. I want to thank our audio engineer, my best friend, Bryce, and our producer and mutual friend, Rob. Coming to you on a Wednesday, so I'm very excited that all of you are tuning in and watching. Very thankful for that, very grateful for that. It's the final day of May. Tomorrow will be June, and really, the summer of drafting will be underway. What I want you to take care of before then is your FFPC main event teams, because at midnight Pacific time tonight, which is a little under 5 hours from now, it will be the deadline for the early bird promo and the pros versus Joe's drawing. So if you want to get into the main event this year and take your shot at $1 million grand prize, a $6 million plus prize pool, tonight you're just hours away from being able to save $100 off your first team as well as be entered into the pros versus Joe's drawing. After midnight Pacific time tonight, that $100 early bird promo is gone. And after midnight Pacific time tonight, you will no longer be eligible to enter to be in the Pros versus Joe's drawing, which will be coming up after the early bird deadline. And we will pick randomly 42 Joes out of there to compete against 42 pros in the FFPC Pros versus Joe's championship. It'll be 7 12 team leagues, and the winner of each of those leagues is going to get a free entry into the 2024 FFPC main event to take their shot at $1 million. You can win $1 million as well in the Fantasy Pros Championship. Just $350 to enter that. That's at myffpc.com as well. That's where you register for the main event. That's also your register for the Fantasy Pros Championship. And you can take advantage of the early bird promo going on right now as well, where if you sign up, you will get a free $35 league credit. Make sure you are drafting prior to the early bird promo expiring, which is coming up as well. Dynasty startup drafts going on at myffpc.com. $100 level is where it starts. It goes all the way up to the $5,000 level. We've been doing Dynasty for almost a decade, well over 1,300 teams. Not a single one of those teams has ever folded. You can register for those at myffpc.com. If you don't like the management aspect of fantasy football, you just want to draft, we got two great best ball tournaments going on right now. The FFPC best ball tournament giving away a $200,000 grand prize this year, just $125 to enter at myffpc.com. And of course, a $50,000 grand prize in the Superflex, FFPC Superflex best ball tournament, just $35 to enter that. Plenty of slow, live, and sit and go best ball options all at myffpc.com. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, and get notified every time we go live on this channel. Now, a bit of housekeeping right up at the top of the show. I'll let everybody know. I'll remind everybody at the end, too. There is no Better Sports Network High Stakes Fantasy Football show tomorrow evening because I have a prior engagement where I'll be throwing out the first pitch of a minor league baseball game. So I am off tomorrow. However, the channel still will be live. We will have Aiden LaCorey and Dave Terpoli bringing you live pick-by-pick coverage of the FFPC Hardway draft. A lot of great players in that. In fact, if I don't think I can, I'll see if I can run it down here real quick. But I know, too, our good buddy, friend of the show, Tupacker, has the first overall pick in that draft tomorrow night. Again, coverage beginning, I believe, at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and they'll have everything on there. Like the whole draft, they'll have a lot of the guys drafting to be chiming in, doing some live hits during the draft as well with Aiden and Terp. You are looking at 8 o'clock tomorrow, and why can I not find the list? Okay, so we got Dan Williamson, we got Austin Martin, Theo Greminger, Billy Muzio, Todd Burrows, Abib Agbatoba, David Hubbard, Darren Armani, Noah Riddell, Mark Garcia, Tupacker. I mean, it's littered. It's a bunch of hardos in that draft, so you want to check that out. Oh, beg your pardon, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time tomorrow is when that will start. So make sure you are tuning in for that. All right, enough of the bear baiting, as my high school history teacher would once say, and probably still does to this day. Let's bring him in right now, the commish, Farrell J. Elliott. Well, or J. Farrell Elliott, welcome in. Thanks for doing the show on a Wednesday night. How's your week going so far?
Buddy, it is one of the worst weeks in the history of, you know, you're dealing, I'm closing out the month of May with, I'm in an aggravational state. I started the day with, our beloved Tyreek McAllister being relieved of his duties at the Denver Broncos for what I'm losing count. I think this is about his fourth time. And, there will be an aggravational bent to my, fantasy football commentary tonight. And I really love the rundown that you gave tonight. It's like a glitterati of the FFPC. It's like those are us lesser mortals sit back and we wonder, you know, when we can participate in something like that. It's great. It's just, and I have been retained by the aforementioned Dave Terp to run his millinery game. In other words, I am in charge of the hats for Dave Terp, and we're going to start with a Kango. And he says he's got a big dome. You don't think about it. You know, he's not a particularly oversized guy, but he says he's got a really big dome. So, you know, we're going to work up some hats for Dave Terp where he can come on the show with you, you know, Bonky, you cut a really wide path. The guy's got to get some props and things to help when they're on the show.
He's got to have a big dome for that big brain, that big fantasy football brain of his.
So I'm also on my fourth pot of coffee. The second one was served Dizzle style, but it's going to be okay. It's
good. I'm glad to hear that. I want to get into it, ladies and gentlemen. The Commanders on Twitter this week put out a tweet that their head coach Ron Rivera said Antonio Gibson's actually really shown his pass catching abilities in OTAs. Talked about what a load he is in space. And this is a guy last year had a career high in catches with 46, 453 yards and two touchdowns. J.D. McKissic hurt most of the season last year. They had Brian Robinson in last year as, you know, the rookie out of Alabama. And you got to believe he's going to get the early round touches. But I guess the thing here is the head coach is praising Gibson here. We already know he caught 46 passes last year. He's an injury away type guy. Farrell, running back 38 at the 906. Have the FFPC drafters caught up to Gibson? Is that the spot he should be going, or should he be going higher?
That's exactly right, because that's where Mr. Armani tells us he's going, and I think that's a good place for him. 46 catches is a good NFL total. You add a catch per game, now we're over 60, which is about where I expect him to finish. You know, Coach Rivera was at the games last year, so he obviously saw this happen. And, you know, he'll get the ball to him. He'll be a check down. He'll be a check down contributor in this offense, and he might line up in that slot like we've been promised and do some things there. But from a fantasy standpoint, I don't think we're going to have enough touchdowns with him to play much better than that ninth round draft pick. He is a he's a James White version waiting to explode. And, you know, James White has some big games carrying the ball too. So it could happen, but it's a ninth round draft pick. That's what you ought to do with it.
He's going right behind his real-life teammate, Brian Robinson, and then Khalil Herbert going right ahead of Rashad Penny there in the ninth round. And Farrell's absolutely right. Anytime we set ADP on the show, it's thanks to FantasyMojo.com, at FantasyMojo on Twitter. Darren Armani, who's actually going to be drafting in that hardway draft tomorrow night, he is the godfather of the FFPC Pros versus Joe Challenge, which he'll be putting together as soon as we draw the Joes and whatever it's going to be, 24, 48 hours for that. And so if you are registering for the main event, be paying attention to your email. If you get an email from Darren Armani, it's usually good news. The Athletic's Joe Person told his readers in The Athletic that there is no power runner on the Carolina Panthers roster, and that might mean that Chuba Hubbard gets the short yardage work. 29.7% DVOA on 18 carries with 3 yards to go for first or less last season. Yes, I know that's a loaded stat, but it's what we're going on. 6'1", 210 pounds. I think the commentary I want to bring up here is not necessarily on Chuba Hubbard, Farrell, but it's on the new Carolina Panthers running back, formerly of the Eagles, Miles Sanders. Knowing that, again, this is what Joe Person, who covers the Panthers, is saying. This isn't gospel. This is just what he thinks. But if that is the case, if Hubbard's getting goal line stuff, does that make Miles Sanders kind of a little bit of a reach at running back 19 in the mid-fifth round? He's going ahead of Swift, Cam Akers, Damian Pierce, Rashad White right now. To me, if you're not getting goal line, that's kind of a big deal. I think that gets underrated. Your thoughts on Miles Sanders, where he's going as the 19th running back off the board?
Fantasy players in the FFPC and the KFFSC should not pay one bit of attention to Joe Person's musings here on May 31st about the backfield of the Carolina Panthers. Let's turn to professional scouts who know a little bit about this game. I like both these players. I like Sanders a lot, especially in the fifth round. That's a player that I would be targeting. Sanders has a different size, a different type of build. Hubbard is a lankier player. He's quite a ball player. He's a Big 12 player of the year, which proves he can do it all. And he's got great speed in space, which means he can beat someone to the pylon and he could get some touchdowns that way. But I just really don't think that he is the same kind of power runner as Sanders, who seems to fall forward and gain yards. He breaks through the initial contact. I think that's your goal line back. Will they both be on the field? Yes. And, speed in space is Hubbard's thing. Falling forward is Sanders' thing. Hubbard does know when to put his head down. That slender frame around the goal line doesn't impress me as much as what they might get from Sanders. And look, this team had 16 rushing TDs last year. So whoever gets them, however you cut them up, if they don't improve in the red zone, it's not going to be enough to move you in fantasy that way. I think Sanders had almost as many as that while at Philadelphia. And let's hope he can get many more as a Carolina Panther.
Yeah, I remember Sanders, after his 2021 season, told people not to draft him because they couldn't find the end zone. And then 2022, he was all over the place in the end zone.
Dave Turk told everybody not to draft him, too. You remember, Dave Turk couldn't get over the zero.
J.K. Dobbins going right in front of Miles Sanders. Right behind him is Minnesota's Dalvin Cook. Again,
hey, Balky, say something about Kevin Williamson being in the chat room.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Kevin Williamson, a longtime viewer, listener, and former guest of this show, popping in to hang out with us tonight. A guy I love seeing in Kentucky every single year when I go down to the Louisville area and draft against him. I don't like seeing him at my table.
He's a good player. And it's
very good player.
To me how he pros versus Joe's time that's being decided. He shows up in the chat room. He's always he really wants to be in that.
You know? And he'd mop up. He'd do very good. The Joes historically have wiped the face of the earth with the pros, and Kevin Williamson would no doubt do that as well. I want to keep it on the running back conversation here, Farrell. Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic had a report today that went against what Robert Saleh said about running back Breece Hall. Rosenblatt says it'd be surprising if Hall were ready to go on day one of training camp. Now, Javonte Williams, we also know, with Javonte Williams, we also don't know what ready to go means. Is it showing up? Is it practicing? Is it just doing walkthroughs? It's weird. And Robert Saleh said today that he's very optimistic that Hall will be ready for week one of the season. Okay, so he's not going to be ready for day one training camp, but he will be ready for week one of the NFL season. That's what Rosenblatt, again, who covers the team, and then Saleh, who coaches the team, are saying. Obviously, you would expect the coach to be more optimistic, and he is in this case. I bring it up because Breece Hall was a guy that, I don't know, would have been, if he didn't tear his ACL, there's a lot of people that would have been making him the first running back off the board this season. But he did tear his ACL. This is the world we're living in. And as a result, he is not the top running back off the board. In fact, he is not even in the top five. He is the 10th running back off the board, Farrell, at the 301, right behind Derrick Henry. Forgive me if we've talked about this before, but I'm just going to bring this up right now. I still am a little nervous about taking a guy coming off ACL surgery at that 212, at that 301. If he's healthy, great, but that's no guarantee that he's going to be effective. I think the fact, like, we don't want to mix it up. We don't want to say, oh, just because he's out there and practicing, that means he's going to be the Breece Hall we saw last season. That's what gives me a little bit of trepidation of drafting Breece Hall at the end of the second, early third round. Are you also as nervous as me, or do you feel a little bit more rosier?
Balky, you're one never to live in fear. And when you do, your good friend Don Erickson talks you out of it. Rosenblatt's probably got medical history. His mama probably wanted him to go to medical school, so he's throwing some stuff out there. Maybe he's like the plumbers, as you know, it's been as it's been played out on HBO. Maybe he's like the plumbers, that he's invading the doctor's office and getting some files to look at. He doesn't know. In most cases with injury situations like this, the people that don't know aren't saying, and the people that say, hell, I don't know. Anyway, listen. Don't pay any attention to this. Don't draft injured players, especially in the third round. Now, I want to take a risk. If I'm going to load up with extra running backs, I'm going to go ahead and take Breece Hall because he's coming to a better offense with a better team. And he's got a situation that if he comes in fresh in week four, that I'm not going to hurt so much as if I would with Williams, who if he comes in week four, and Denver could already be struggling out of the gate. We got a better team in New York. If you think you can build a team that Hall can take you further when he comes available, we go ahead and spend a third round draft pick on him and then pick you up a Miles Sanders or something in the fifth round. Just load up more on running backs. So it depends on your build, as they say in fantasy football. I like Hall better as a guy to take the risk on, even though you're paying substantive more draft capital.
You could technically in the fantasy pros start a draft right now with Justin Jefferson and then that 2-3 turn, go with a guy like Devontae Smith or Chris Olave and then pair him, you know, go with Breece Hall there as well. So then you have a Breece Hall backfield with Justin Jefferson and Devontae Smith. Well, and then if what you're saying then too, Farrell, if you go, you know, and get Tony Pollard to go with him, and where's Pollard going right now? A little bit further down, I thought. Yeah. Oh, no, Pollard is going before him. Breece Hall.
We covered that on the show last week.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I mean, there are ways to build a dominant team, and, you know, if you're trying to win $1 million, Breece Hall could be a potential league winner.
Where is Zonovan Knight going?
Zonovan Knight, I don't know if it's going anywhere. So that's another conversation. Yeah. Knight is not going anywhere, but Michael Carter, he's not being drafted.
Something happened to him?
No, he's just not. No.
You know what he did last
year? What did he do?
Last year, he ran some teams into some money when he played. He had some good games, and he made some things happen. Everybody talked about what McKinnon did for fantasy football players, but Knight did some of the similar things. Just saying.
So, for you, you'd be – okay, if you drafted Breece Hall at the 2-3 turn, you could get Knight essentially in the 19th or 20th round. Would you rather do that, or would you rather get Michael Carter at that 17, 18 turn?
Well, you know, what's your old boy that said in double-digit rounds, there's never a bad draft pick?
Never a bad pick, yep.
Pick them both. Pick them both. At this point, John, you know, what do you know, you're an all-in kind of guy because you want to win $1 million. And the FFPC is just giving away $1 million almost in every contest. I signed up for a $35 team looking for that $1 million payout. That didn't happen. But yeah, no. It's a wonderful to believe that there are so many $1 million, $500 million contests and the money that's available to good players in fantasy football and what the FFPC and Alex and Dave have put together is just a fantastic situation.
Absolutely is. Absolutely is. And one of those players competing for those $1 million grand prizes is tonight's guest. He's already taken down 9 high stakes league titles since 2017, including getting half of his FPC teams into the playoffs last year. He's expanded his territory, Farrell, to include more best ball leagues over the course of last season and this season. He's here tonight to break down the many drafts and players he's already selected so far in the drafting season. Joining us from Tommy Island, we'll let him explain that. It is the incomparable Tommy Heron. Tommy, welcome into the High Stakes Fantasy Football.
Gentlemen, how goes it?
Tommy, you got some new glasses on, man. They look sharp.
Well, I don't know if they're new, but I appreciate the
strong.
So Tommy Island is kind of like what it means is or just kind of like what it says. Like, there's a lot of times where you will go out and get your guys, or you will shun guys, even though everybody else is telling you, hey, you need to draft this guy or you need to stay away from this guy. You are pretty strong in your convictions, which has more than once put you on Tommy Island.
That's exactly right. It goes in life. I'm not afraid to stand alone, whether it's in fantasy football, gambling, or whatever else. So,
right.
Love to spend some time on Tommy Island. That's what I'm doing this week.
When you are not on Tommy Island drafting all these teams, what are you doing for a living? And you're on the East Coast, right? If I remember correctly,
Charlotte, North Carolina. That's
got
right.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm selling snacks. So I'm a customer vice president for Mondelez International. We sell a few snacks you may know: Oreo, Ritz, Nutter Butter, Sour Patch, Swedish Fish, Clif Bar.
Cliff Bar.
A few big brands. So we make snacking made right. So,
what's your personal favorite out of everything that your company's hawking? Are you an Oreo man? I like Nutter Butter.
So I like Nutter Butter. I love Nutter Butter. I actually like a classic Lorna Doone.
Oh, yeah.
Ritz toasted chip cheddar.
Oh, yeah. Those are good, too.
Yeah, they are. Both of you gentlemen will be getting a care package. So
What I need. I need a lot of care, Tom. You know, and to me, these don't sound like snacks. These sound like the four basic food groups of how you put things together. Tell me, let's go up to Buffalo where Krautwurst and other Bills fans are toying with the idea, and I think you probably know our good friend Krautwurst, that they may sign DeAndre Hopkins, which, you know, that's a fool's paradise for them. So let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins not signing there. Now, player that we really like on the Bills, Davis. We've always liked him on the show. We found early on that he was underrated. I think now by fantasy drafters, he's overrated. Khalil Shakir is a player I've always admired. Yeah, he's a little slight for the position. He hasn't done as much in Buffalo because they've got so many guys hanging around to play that slot position. And then I would like to hear your take on Dalton Kincaid. Which one of these guys separate themselves, fulfill their ceiling in fantasy football that you can get involved with and you can win some Tommy dollars this year?
All right. So, you know, I'll be honest. I like all three.
Yeah.
In different ways. So Gabe is my fave. I know you said he was overrated. I think we'll find out this year because I think injuries held him back last year. I think he was overrated. He skyrocketed last year. He was probably the favorite sleeper of 90% of fantasy players last year. And he didn't fulfill that. So 8th round this year, yeah, I'll take him. Sign me up for that. However, I think Shakir I like to call him Tupac Shakir. he's by far the best value. He's always hanging around at that 18th round, and I've got him. I probably have him on 60%, 70% of the teams I've drafted. I've drafted about 20 to 25 teams in various formats on FFPC. Mm-hmm. He's on so many of them. So he's a value. I'll have him. And then Kincaid, the problem with him, he's a little rich for where he's mm-hmm. going in the eighth round for me. He's great for best ball because I think mm-hmm. it's going to take a while. If he does anything, it's going to be later in the year. You know, think about James Cook last year. It took him a long time. They didn't really buy into the rookies. They don't play the rookies. Dawson Knox is still there. So I think he's definitely got the best ceiling. He's probably the best receiver out of the draft and out of these three. But, you know, in that order, I'll go Gabe, yes. I'll go Shakir, best value, and then Kincaid for the ceiling. Give me two out of three in a stack with where I have Josh Allen shares. And
I might have been living a little bit, Tommy, in 2022 because I remember Davis is more like a fifth-round pick if my memory doesn't fail.
He was a fifth-round, but he was going – yeah, and he went up into that – fourth, fifth turn last year, if I'm, you know, if I'm remembering correctly. But, yeah.
At eighth, I can very much buy into it. That's quite overrated. Hey, Bonky, you had something in the rundown about Kincaid. Why don't you share that with Tommy?
Well, okay. So Ken Dorsey was talking about Dalton Kincaid this week. This, according to Joe Buscaglia, who covers the Bills, I think, for The Athletic, said that, quote, "We're nowhere close to knowing what the big picture is going to be because we have to learn him and he has to learn us." Dorsey also said his role is to be determined. So I don't know. You know, this is the type of thing that a lot of high-stakes players, and Tommy, you know this, they'll read this and like, oh, you know, maybe I should not be taking him in the mid-eighth round ahead of guys like Chiga Conquo and Dalton Schultz as a rookie, the fact that he's the tight end 11 off the board. I think because of the hype train was going so fast, I think it's going to take more than this to slow down Kincaid as far as, you know, where he's going to be going in FFPC drafts. I just feel like this is the type of player, Tommy, that as we go throughout the summer, he's going to keep rising.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, what do you say when a coach says that kind of nonsense? Because, yeah, it's
what do I say when he keeps
rising? Yeah, because you're a guy
I'll take my shares now. And if they want to keep rising – go ahead. I'll take him in the right format. If I miss, I miss. But I'll have shares. I won't be all committed on him, though. I'm not all in on the guy. So.
Here, in my mind, here's what Ken Dorsey should have said about this player. This is the finest tight end specimen I've ever seen. His best football is in front of him.
Right.
I'm going to coach him up. He's going to catch a lot of balls. He's going to help us win Super Bowls. And when he retires from the game, he's going to soon be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in Canton. Now, that's what I would say about this player because that's how much I believe in him this year. Dynasty's over. I hope you got some.
Yeah. I'll take him all day in Dynasty. But I'll say this is whatever Dorsey says, whatever Brandon Bean said. I think Brandon Bean said this earlier in the year. Who, by the way, Brandon Bean's a Stanley County boy near where I live.
He sure the hell is.
Norwood, North Carolina. Holla. It's all coach speak. You know, they're throwing that out there. They're not going to give us the goods. If they were going to give us the goods, why the hell would they do that? So
the last thing I want to say about the Bills here, if you guys remember Gabe, well, I mean, obviously we all remember when Gabe Davis went absolutely crazy in the 2021 game in the playoffs against the Chiefs where he had the four touchdowns.
Right.
That was moving him up draft boards. And then remember, they played in that Thursday night game against the Rams. He had four catches for 88 yards and a touchdown, so the hype was still real on him. By the time the main event drafts ended prior to week one starting, he was actually going at the 309 on average in as the wide receiver 15. If you remember back to last year, it's crazy. This is why we love fantasy football. It's also why we hate it. Let's keep the receiver conversation going here, Tommy. Are going to Jacksonville, are you team Christian Kirk or are you team Calvin Ridley for Trevor Lawrence's top target this year?
So I like them both. I mean, this is definitely a 1A, 1B. I know you gentlemen prefer Kirk last week's broadcast. I like him a lot, but I like Ridley for full season, and I think it may take a little while for him to get going. And I think they may take some time. I believe they even talked early on that they are going to ease him in some. But I think his ceiling's so damn high. They're about a round apart in ADP right now. So, you know, I'm not going to be going all in on Ridley, but I'll be I'll have quite a few shares. And if I miss him, I'll grab Kirk because I love Trev. And I think having Trev with either of those two pieces is a winning combination.
You know, when I looked at Balky does a wonderful job putting together the rundown. And I said, you know, this Tommy guy, I got to meet him because Balky must not like him. These are some of the hardest questions I've ever seen. They have no answers. They're trap questions. And then Balky skipped over his question and went to mine. Oh, my
God. Oh, I'm sad. Yeah, you're right.
Win you over as a friend, Tommy. And now I got to ask you one of these Balky questions that not only is difficult, but it never ends. So strap up, and here we go. There's a glut of receivers going at the 1-2 turn this year, at the 1-2 turn, Tommy. Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, C.D. Lamb, and Garrett Wilson. Do you have a favorite amongst those five? We would also like you to list them in order of how you like them. And then we would like to talk to you about Moore leaving Carolina. Those are all the receiver. You see, that's a tough question.
Well, this was actually – I was talking with a good friend of mine who's I'll consider an elite fantasy player in Balky. I think you know him, Jeff Antley. Right. He and I were talking. He lives here in Charlotte, really one of my very best friends. And we were talking the other day, same question. We were talking about the turn. Going into that second round. So this is easy for me. It's good. Arthur Juan, number one out of those. It's Sadarius Lamb, number two. And then it's Amon-Ra, it's Garrett Wilson, and then it's Devontae Adams. And Devontae Adams is sliding for me. Now, he's not on my do not draft, but right now he's on my do not draft right there. I'll actually put Waddle. Waddle's starting to climb ahead of him for me, and I know y'all didn't bring that name in, but I'll bring that in. Here's the thing. I will end up drafting Adams some because I don't love those running backs in the middle of that second round. I just don't. And y'all were talking about Breece earlier, but Breece all the way to Tony Pollard, I don't love any of that. And I've got a guy that goes in the third that I absolutely adore. So that's where I rank them. And I think you can't go wrong with any of those, especially that the first four, honestly. Yeah. I think they're all going to have great, great years. I think there's question marks with Adams.
Adams is your outlier because of the quarterback situation?
Because of the quarterback situation, absolutely. I'm looking at two guys sitting in the first two rounds of the draft. I know Jacobs was great last year, but you got two Raiders sitting in the first two rounds of the draft with Jim Garoppolo. Help
incorrect me and fantastic at the same time. Boy, we were on Jacobs last year, and boy, he slid. Every time we recommended him on the show, he went down around. By August, nobody won.
Yeah, he's the opposite. Like for me, I didn't have any shares of him. I won't have any shares of him this year. But like Chubb, I was getting last year in the third round and loved him. Mm-hmm. Helped me all season long until the end. And he started tapering off. Now he's in the middle of the second round. I don't want to touch him. So,
Did you play football, Tommy?
Yeah. Do I play football? Or did you play? Yeah, years ago.
Because you got some big-ass hands, man. You could catch the ball. You could handle some tackles. Right. I mean, look at those guys.
It's probably the camera angle, to be honest.
Well, it could be. Yeah.
It works well for me.
You're going down on my scouting report. And good hands, man.
Nick Chubb is such an interesting guy because I historically just haven't drafted him because he doesn't catch a whole lot of passes. And if I'm going to invest in early running back pick, I want a guy who catches passes. Right. And it always seems like he went higher than I was willing to take him. Now, last year, to your point, Tommy, I actually got him in a few more leagues, not trying. It just happened to go that way because other people were letting him slip. But apparently that discount's over. That sale ended last year because he is at sticker price again in 2023.
That's right.
Let's talk tight ends here. Mike Gesicki, he's still in the same division as he was last year, but he's further north. No longer a Dolphin, now a New England Patriot. I look back to his 2021 season, the last year he had pre-Mike McDaniel, and he caught, I think it was like 70 some passes for 700 plus yards. It was really, really good. But in Mike McDaniel's offense, you got to be able to block. Gesicki was not the greatest blocker, thus he was not on the field as much, barely top 30 catches last year. Now in New England, they went out and signed him in free agency. What are your thoughts on Gesicki perhaps bouncing all the way back to maybe that 60, maybe 70 catch plateau this year?
I like Gesicki a lot this year, especially that whole round 15 to 18. There's so many tight ends. Mm-hmm. It's I like to call it the poo-poo platter, but it's a really good poo-poo platter because it's because there's so many to pick from that I'm willing to sign up for. Gesicki, I think, thinking back to 21, the only thing he was lacking that year was touchdowns. He only had two, but he had, I think, six the year before that. So what I think is this, for sure he gets back to that kind of level. Whether he catches 70 balls, I don't know. But I think, he catches 60. He catches 600 yards and he's six touchdowns. Lock it in with six touchdowns. I looked this up. Hunter Henry caught nine touchdown passes in 21 from Michael McCorkle Jones, who is the same quarterback there now, Mac Jones. So if Hunter Henry scores nine touchdowns, then Gesicki's just as good or better a receiver than Hunter Henry. Lock him in. He's definitely back. Count him up for six touchdowns minimum, especially in round 15.
I agree, Balky, because Gesicki is just in the red zone. Gesicki is a whole other player, which is what we want in fantasy football. Even though the bonus, and you're so correct to ask about catches, because our 1.5 FFPC bonus, that's all about catches. So I want to go to another tight end. Then we talked about him a little bit last week. We need to talk about him more. And we talked about Kincaid is my favorite coming out of this past year's draft, 2022. My favorite was McBride. I picked him up everywhere I could. I didn't necessarily like the landing spot with Ertz there, but eventually Ertz will cede a lot of play to McBride, and he's virtually free as well. Balky, is that correct? Due to
So I was going to say this: Gesicki is going right behind Michael Mayer in drafts. The next tight end drafted after Gesicki is Trey McBride, who is tight end 23 at the 15.08.
15. Okay, so there's three tight ends that Balky gave you, and obviously you like Gesicki best. What do you think about the other two guys, especially with McBride?
I love McBride. McBride's on so many of my squads. I've been on them all already early on. And his end of last year, I like to look at the previous year, how they ended, not how they started. Yeah, right. And last seven games, 25 catches, 200-300 yards. He only had a touchdown, but that was with a backup quarterback. He's going to start the year with a backup quarterback, project that over 17 games. Zach Ertz may be back in September. And by the way, is he even going to be healthy when he's back? This is Trey McBride all day long. I think Trey McBride probably climbs the charts from the tight end. And if he doesn't, I'll be happy. This is why I love drafting in May and June ahead of all the other folks that are going to come in later on. Because, you get a head start on everybody and you get some of these guys early on. So.
Well, if you want to know if Ertz is going to be healthy, you got to get over to the Athletic and consult with this Rosenblatt's guy because he's got that stuff down.
I'm looking at Trey McBride's game logs, and obviously he was hurt to start last year, as you alluded to, Tommy. Only nine catches in his first four games, which you say only nine. That's still okay for a rookie tight end. But then bear in mind that over the last five games, he had 20 catches. Never dipped below three catches. He had at least three catches in every game, including 7 for 78 and a touchdown in week 17 on New Year's Day on the road against the Falcons. So there is something there, and the fact that he's going so cheap has so many of us excited. Now, he is going to be with the same team he was last year. A player who is not going to be is a dude who went from Cincinnati now to Carolina in your backyard, and that's Hayden Hurst. No DJ Moore. Obviously, he moves on to Chicago. You do have Adam Thielen. They went out and got Jonathan Mingo. You're looking at DJ Chark, LaVisca Chenault, Terrace Marshall. I think there was a blurb about him today, maybe having a big breakout campaign this year. I'll believe it when I see it. But he is super cheap, so he'll probably be on some of my teams this year. But your thoughts on Hayden Hurst. What role is he going to have catching passes from Bryce Young this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got a good solid role. I mean, sign me up for a tight end three in FFPC. I mean, that's what he is. And, you know, it's 45 to 50 catches, 500 yards and 3 to 4 touchdowns. And I think that's feasible. You got Bryce Young's security blanket. He's going to need to check down. They've always – I mean, Carolina's – and he's probably going to have a game or two. You always have that from a Carolina Panther. You have, you know, the Tommy Trembles of the world who put up 2 touchdowns randomly in a game. So, you know, I think you'll get production out of him. And I think he bounces back. You're right. This is his home. He was a cock-a-doodle-doo Gamecock in Columbia, South Carolina. So he's back home.
And, hey, do you ever refer to South Carolina as USC?
I mean, I guess I have.
Nationally, that's very. Yeah,
I still look. I'm from the Carolinas, but look, I much respect to Southern California. USC is iconic, so much respect to them too. So,
some mighty fine football players come out of those two Carolinas.
That's states. Right. That's right.
I'll actually be doing. Farrell, I didn't tell you this, but at the last weekend in June, I'm actually going to be doing this show in South Carolina. I'm visiting some family out there then. So that's why I will be just south of where Tommy is going to be then. Hayden Hurst, 68 targets last year, 52 catches on a team with Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. Now he goes to a team that, again, he's not going to have the receivers taking a lot of attention away from him, but he should get a lot of attention from Bryce Young. And the fact that he's tight end 28 right now in the FFPC, we are digging that. Farrell, we have not talked any running backs yet tonight.
Well, we haven't, you know, and I love that question. This is like throwing up a softball and watching it grow into a pumpkin as it approaches home plate. If we had an eighth grade division, this would be a question for them, Tommy. So get ready to crush the hell out of this. Is Austin Eckler, who is being drafted at the 106 in FFPC drafts, is it right that he's the second running back over the board, or is he being overdrafted?
It's definitely right. I could argue he could go to one in some cases. He was the number one running back and wide receiver in PPR last year. So he had, I think, 4 more total points in a PPR format. I might be, you know, off a little bit than Justin Jefferson. Adding Kellen Moore, so a great better offensive coordinator. Add in the fact no new running backs brought in. Add in incentive to keep him on the field this year. So 1,125 total yards, $1 million. $600,000 for 10-plus touchdowns, and then another one for another 150 for Pro Bowl. So, i.e., stay healthy, stay on the field. And then the kicker is the contract year. So, I mean, he's got an incentive to go out and just have a juggernaut year this year.
And he plays the Raiders twice, so there's 6 touchdowns right there.
Right.
So
I mean, the guy's got a magnet in the end zone. He goes and finds it.
And you know, it's such a joy to watch him play. You wonder, with an athlete like that on your team, how can you not be better than 500? I hope to see Austin Eckler some year play in the postseason.
I think they're going to be better this year. I think Herbert's going to bounce back this year, by the way, with that the whole team. And I think Kellen Moore is going to be a big part of that.
Kevin Williamson has got some real questions for Tommy.
Here we go. Let's real do this. By the way, I'm going to pop this up on the screen, but I just want to confirm what Tommy said. Austin Eckler, weeks 1 through 17 last year, outscored Justin Jefferson by 6.6 points. So he was the number one non-quarterback scorer in FFPC scoring last year. And out of he played every single game last year. Out of those 17 games, 9 of them, he scored at least 23.9 or more. Yeah. You got to love that. And I think his lowest game was week 1 when he only had 11. That was his lowest, you know. So there's a lot to like about him. Okay, moving on, because we haven't talked about quarterbacks. Kevin Williamson, is quarterback 16 too low for Aaron Rodgers? Now, that's an interesting question, because he's got a lot more weapons in New York, or at least more veteran weapons in New York, guys who have done it before, than he had in Green Bay last year, including a guy he had in Green Bay last year with Alan Lazard. But Corey Davis, Garrett Wilson is there. You look at, we talked about Breece Hall, obviously, earlier, Tyler Conklin. Rodgers is a four-time MVP. He won two MVPs in the last three seasons, and yet FFPC drafters are taking him as the 16th quarterback off the board. Too low for you right now, Tommy?
No, I mean, he's about right. I mean, I think it's, you know, I could say that about a lot of those guys that are right there. I mean, Jared Goff. Look at Jared Goff last year in a really great offense. He's going after Aaron Rodgers, Geno, the Machino. They're all going right there together. Dan Jones, Tua, all in that 11 to 13. So, you know, I could say they're all going late, or that's just the way – that's just, like, where they are. I mean, this typically happens if you wait on quarterbacks. So I think they're all good values where they're at. And so I'm good where he's at. But if you like him and you think it's too low, then grab it as value.
Tommy, let me just sorry to interrupt. Let me just ask you, any of those players that you just mentioned, Jones, I'll throw in Kirk Cousins in there, Geno Smith, Jared Goff. Would you draft Rodgers ahead of any or all of those guys?
I like Jared Goff ahead of those guys.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins. I'd put Geno and probably Aaron together. I think Geno, you know, he needs to prove it again this year. That last year could have been, who knows, right? He's got a lot of weapons. Aaron Rodgers does have a lot of weapons, but the Jets have a really good defense. So I could see also the Jets playing one of those games where they have these good weapons, but they might not light up the scoreboard for 32 points. They're gonna play defense, and if Brees does come back and is healthy, they'll grind that out and they'll do their thing. So
Balky likes to talk about running back Michael Carter, and you know, I think if you want to say anything about Rodgers, you can say, you know what, he's got Carter. Because there's a player that after he catches the ball can do something with it. Like, and, you know, we've watched Rodgers take advantage of that home field advantage that you enjoy, Balky, every time you go out to the game there in Green Bay. And now he's in a division where he's got to go on the road to Miami, not an easy place to play. New England, not an easy place to play. And, you know, he's going to get a little bit of his own medicine when he goes to Buffalo. So there's some things about being in New York that are a little different than what he experienced with the Packers. So I think Tommy's onto something. Still intriguing about what he might be able to do with this team. But, yeah, you know, those guys you mentioned, especially up in Detroit, I mean, there's a former first pick of the draft, and he had a year like it, you know.
And he had good weapons in Gibbs and LaPorta.
Yeah.
And I'd say Jameson Williams for a full year. But it won't be a full year. It'll be a partial year, but at least he'll be healthy.
He's got a parlay going tonight, though. Hopefully he hits it. So.
Okay, well, there you go. Let's go to emails here. A couple of emails for you, Tommy. Nick in Dallas, is the late fifth too early to draft DeAndre Swift in Fantasy Pros this year? Thank you for the email, Nick in Dallas. You are looking at DeAndre Swift, has an ADP of the 601 currently, running back 21, right behind Dalvin Cook, right ahead of Cam Akers. 601, too early for Swift, too late, or like Goldilocks would say, just right, Tommy.
I love him. I love him right there. He's one of my, you know, one of my targets, especially in the sixth round. Sign me up. Fifth round, yes, sign me up. If you look at the guys around him, just a good situation. I think about what Miles Sanders did last year. I know he's not the same type of player, but Miles Sanders produced significantly last year. I'm not buying into Rashad Penny staying on the field. It hadn't happened yet. So take him out of the equation. I think Swift plays up to second or third round potential by the end of the year, potentially. So
32 rushing touchdowns from the Eagles last year.
That's right. I mean, he's going to get some of those. So.
How many were from Hurts, though, Farrell?
Most. And the rest were from Sanders, but it's a team that knows how to score the ball.
That's true.
Hurts gets you in the red zone. The defense begins to freak out a little bit. Now you've got a guy that's much like what we talked about, Hubbard, having good speed in space, a little space. He stretches it out from pylon to pylon. It's an interesting situation for Swift.
Just go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think that Hurts regresses just slightly in some of his touchdowns this year?
Yeah.
I mean, it was – They're going to scheme against it. So, hey, we got to come up with something different. So.
Anytime I see an outlier year from a quarterback running the football, I just always assume there's going to be regression, whether it's rushing yards or rushing touchdowns. So, yeah. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not a believer in Hurts of where he's going right now. But yeah, I think the running totals have come down. And the great thing about Swift is you can play him every single week except for those 2 weeks when they play the Giants. Those are the weeks you got to start Boston Scott. Because Boston Scott is the giant killer on that Philadelphia Eagles team. Donnie in Lansing, Michigan. What's up, Tommy? Do you think FFPC players should be loading up on Tank Bigsby in the 10th round right now? Best of luck this season, Donnie in Lansing, Michigan. Thank you for the email. We appreciate that. Tank Bigsby, who's been getting steamed up a little bit right now based on what I'm hearing from high-stakes players, what I'm seeing in high-stakes drafts right now. Tank Bigsby is going, where did I have it here? Running back 45, fall in the 11th round. So maybe not getting steamed up as much as I thought. But that 10-11 turn, you're looking at Jerick McKinnon, Roschon Johnson, and then Tank Bigsby right ahead of Elijah Mitchell. Is that a good investment this year? Is Bigsby a good investment, good return on draft capital?
You know, I think he could be. But I'm not taking him much past this 11. And I'm not going to have, I'm not loading up. The word load, no way. Okay. I'll have shares because there's going to be, you know, some opportunities to score touchdowns. And look, let's face it, ETN's not a short down guy. They're not going to be, you know, I think there's opportunity there, assuming there's opportunity there. But, you know, I'm looking at, I think Elijah Mitchell might be just a sleeper sitting right there with him. I just assume have the same shares of Elijah Mitchell as I would Tank Bigsby. And I don't think I have any Eli Mitchell. And then McKinnon just re-signed with Kansas City. So, you know, he's somebody to put on your squad, especially in best ball. I mean, McKinnon can score 3 touchdowns with 6 touches. So, yeah. So, yes, I'll have some shares, but not a ton and not a load of them. And not much past I won't go into that. You know, if he gets into that 8th, 9th, no way. So,
Farrell, it is on you for the final question from Mr. Tommy Heron tonight.
For a man who is strong in his opinions, this may be the question that is polished up and delivered on the proverbial silver platter for you. Who do you hate? Who do you not like? Who is your despicable player that you don't want to have the stain of his stink on your football team? Who's a guy you just love and you're going to steal him? You're going to steal him from everybody, and he's going to take you to the top the way Gabe Davis did in 2021. Who are those guys?
So I won't say I hate these guys, but I
want. Well, I will. I want a guy you hate. I want a guy you actually hate.
So Kamara would be a hater. I don't want any part of Kamara, but I think.
Okay, well, who else were you going to say?
All right, so I think Jacobs. I'm not touching him where he's at. You know, I think Jordan Addison, aside from Dynasty, I'll take him in Dynasty. He's getting overdrafted.
I like that. I like it a lot.
And then DeKalen Zacharias Metcalf. Look, I love the guy, but 3rd round, no thanks. I can get Tyler Lockett at 4 rounds, 3 or 4 rounds later. And they added JSN. So those are the fades. Targets, Ramondre Stevenson. Take it to the bank, especially in that mid-3rd round. I'll take him. Like, I prefer take him over the guys that are going in that 2nd round. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have a better year than all of those guys. Better than Henry, better than Pollard, better than all of them. Mm-hmm. Big 4 quarterbacks with Burrow being the 4th. I want a piece of those where I can. I won't be exclusive to that, but I think that's advantageous. And then some other guys, Jerome Ford, all in with this guy. And then I'm growing fond of Keontae Ingram late because I just think in that, you know, 18th, late round, what is that, 18th round he's probably going, like him a lot with Connor. The Cardinals have already packed it in. They've already sent off their tickets to the draft for next year. So I think Keontae Ingram could have a ton of value late in the year.
Interesting. Very interesting. You have now, to correct me if I'm wrong, you've done Fantasy Pros and the best ball tournament drafts. Did you do the Never Too Early as well?
I did the Never Too Early, yes.
Okay. All right. Has your strategy changed from the Never Too Early tournament to the Best Ball and Fantasy Pros now?
Just a little bit with some of the players. Yeah, I think I'll say the overall strategy. I mean, I'll say it's changed a little bit, but over for the most part, I let a draft when I'm doing a draft. Like I let the draft play out because mm-hmm. I'm not going to be committed to a certain strategy and make a dumbass mistake. And so anyway, by the way, I do want to call out. I was in the I played last night at the 10 o'clock and and I was I told you I loved Ramondre mm-hmm. and I had him at the 3-8 and I clicked and I thought I had him in my queue. And I hit, so I ended up drafting T.J. Hockenson. By the way, T.J. Hockenson's a steal right there. So I didn't type anything in. I said,
right.
Let this go because I'm a true believer that, hey, if I'm sloppy and my mistake, that's me. But
it may not end up being a mistake in the long run, too.
100%. T.J. Hockenson could win a championship for me. So anyway, it was funny. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, because I was commissioning that draft last night. I do remember. And I saw you in it, too, for sure.
Yeah,
Tommy, we will follow you on Twitter at TommyIsland69. We will wish you all the best in your Never Too Early, your FFPC Best Ball, your FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship, your FFPC Main Event. Congratulations on all your success so far. Thank you so much for hanging out on a Wednesday night with us and talking shop. I learned a lot, and I really appreciate you carving out the time, man. Good luck in all your leagues this season.
Yeah, take care, gentlemen. Send me your addresses so I can send you those care packages, okay?
We will be on it for sure.
And Tommy, you can just bring me mine when you come to the KFFSC.
I'll send you that because I'm interested in that. So
it deserves an invite. So we gotta have you over here.
Yeah. Tommy, be good, man. We'll see you again soon.
Take care, gentlemen.
Tommy Heron, ladies and gentlemen, the 9-time winner of FFPC league titles over the course of his career. I had a lot of success in the FPC last year and obviously loading up and building some juggernauts to try to take down that $1 million grand prize in the FFPC main event and FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship as well this season. Farrell, once again, we were too chatty with the guests, which I appreciate because I'd rather hear from the guests than me gas bag into a microphone for an hour.
Be included in that.
So here's what we'll do. We'll hold off. We got a few emails, but I have a feeling we're going to get some good ones because we're going to get a week and a half before our next show, which will be Friday, June 9th. We will be back live and we won't be live this Friday, but I certainly appreciate you coming on Wednesday here and chopping it up. KFFSC.com is where to register for this Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Draft. Draft Live in Cincinnati, Draft Live in Louisville, and maybe you'll see myself and Tommy. You'll for sure see Farrell there as well. So definitely be doing that this year, and we will talk with you again, Farrell, in nine days. Beg your pardon.
Very good. See you then, Bob.
Thank you. Farrell Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. That will wrap up tonight's show. I do want to thank Tommy Heron. I do want to thank Farrell Elliott, the FFPC, Rob Bryce, and of course, each and every one of you for watching. We will be back next Friday, June 9th at 10/9 Central. You can watch next week's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network on any of the FFPC social media channels next Thursday, not tomorrow, next Thursday at 7/6 Central with yours truly and Draft Sharks Alex Korf chopping it up for 2 full hours there. Don't forget, we are now we've done the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We are now an hour closer. You are basically 3 hours and change away from that FFPC main event early bird deadline. If you want to get in and save $100 and be entered into that FFPC Pros versus Joes drawing, you need to register right now. Put your deposit down, pay for your teams, get those deals because it is the best deal you will get on the main event all season on your first team. MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. And you can win $1 million. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You can also win $1 million in the Fantasy Pros Championship. Just a $350 entry fee at myffpc.com. I'm actually going to be commissioning the midnight draft tonight. I believe We got a couple of people in there right now, it looks like. So hopefully that fills so you can draft, and I'll be commissioning that draft at myffpc.com. Remember to get in on the early bird promo there. When you are registering for your teams, you're getting a $35 a free FFPC league credit if you draft and if you register and draft before the early bird promo deadline there as well. You can register for Dynasty Startups at myffpc.com. Remember, we've been doing this for almost a decade. 1,300 plus teams, not a single league has ever folded. So if you're looking for fantasy football 365 days a year, the FFPC is where to go for that. $200,000 is the grand prize in the FFPC Best Ball Tournament at myffpc.com. And of course, a $50,000 grand prize in the Superflex Best Ball Tournament, just a $35 entry fee. Those are flying off the board. Drafts are filling up very fast there at myffpc.com. And of course, if you want to play in a slow or live closed 12 team league, 30-second clock, 60-second clock, 2-hour, 6-hour clock, whatever you want. That's available at myffpc.com for as little as $5. Truly the home of season long fantasy football is the FFPC. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment, share, and get notified. And don't forget tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Aiden LaCorey, Dave Terpoli, taking you through the hard way draft with all those illustrious drafters that I mentioned before. Of course, the back-to-back FPC grand prize winner, Abib Egbuktoba, Dan Williamson from the GOAT District, Theo Greminger, player profiler, GOAT District, Ron Meyer, former guest of the show, is going to be drafting Fantasy Mojo's Darren Armani, so many more. I know I forgot a bunch of them, but they're all going to be drafting. Todd Burrows drafting tomorrow night as well. You can watch that right here on youtube.com/FFPC Fantasy, of course, the FFPC Facebook and Twitter as well. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. I might make a special appearance tomorrow night in the live draft coverage. I don't know yet, but if I don't pop in, if I can't pop in tomorrow, I will see you again on. Oh, and that's the other thing I should remind you. Tuesday, we actually go live on this channel for the June edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Longtime FFPC player and several times over high stakes champion in both the FPC, the main event, and Dynasty, Mike Foresta is actually going to be popping back on. So we're going to chop that up Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central. So I will see you then for sure if I don't see you tomorrow night. Thanks for watching, everybody, and listening. Your weekend sort of starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I was actually wrong. There's only one team signed up in that midnight draft, not a couple. But make sure you're still popping in there. The draft goes off in a little bit less than an hour. I've seen these things fly, especially now as we're approaching June. So get in your drafting action right now, Fantasy Pros Championship. Maybe this is going to be the $1 million league tonight. I don't know. And you could be that $1 million winner. Thanks for watching, everybody. Maybe I'll see you later on in the draft room tonight. Otherwise, I will see you on Tuesday.